This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today I am very pleased to have Aaliyah Zobel Nolan. She's written many, many books, mostly about cats, but very spiritual, lovely, lovely, sweet sayings. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Why don't you give us a little background about yourself? Because you have a vast amount of books out there.
Yes, I have over 150 traditionally published, and just recently now I have 3 self-published. Now, I started out as a journalist, and I used to do feature stories for the local newspapers, and then I got my own column. It was a humor column. I'm basically a humorist. I write about the vagaries of life, and especially with cats. I've written 10 cat books, as I say, mostly humorous. The latest one is Why a Cat is Better Than a Man, which is not male bashing, it's cat enhancing.
And it's so funny that you said that, because I've had cats for over 30 years. I grew up with dogs, and then, you know, being single, it's so much easier to have cats. You get one, you get two, you have 3. And then the last of my cat passed away. I've had them, and they always live very long lives, thank God. But then I decided I wanted a different kind of relationship, one that I could take outside. So I just recently adopted a dog, and I had the heck of a time trying to get a foster, even though, you know, I'm available all the time, and I said all the right things. Nobody really ever came through for me. So a friend convinced me to go to a shelter, which I had never been to. And of course, it's heartbreaking, but yes. I did find the love of my life. And I've always said, you know, I'm not living with anything anymore unless they have 4 legs. And I ended up getting my Tilly McGee, and I did a show. It's harder to find a good dog than a good man. So funny that you say that, because cats are very special. And the book that we're going to talk about today is Heavenly Headbutts: Reflections of Hope About Cats in Eternity. And a lot of the sayings, you know, you could switch off to having a dog, because there's so many different sayings about our pets. Like the one with the dog is always, everybody has the best dog and nobody's ever wrong, because we all think that way, just like parents think about their children. But, you know, in reading it, and they're all very sweet, in reading the book, my favorite is on page 15 and 31.
Okay.
And it says, grieve not, nor speak of me with tears, but laugh and talk of me as if I were beside you. I loved you so, 'twas heaven here with you. I think that's beautiful.
It is. It is. And I think the author of that is, I don't have my glasses on, but the author
Isler Pasquale Richardson.
Right, right. A lot of people use that, you know, for funerals and things like that. But it's so appropriate, because the cats, you know, their spirit is with you at all times, even if they've passed. That's the way I feel anyway.
And page 22, I like that one too. This is the very nature of God, is
right,
to seek the deepest possible communion and friendship with every last creature on earth. And
yes. You
know what? Amen to that.
Yes. Well, you know, what prompted this book was I've always had cats, and I had 3 cats, and they were all seniors getting on in age, and I lost one, and then I lost another, and then I lost another, 3 in a row.
Wow.
And you know, it never gets easier. You can have this happen to you 15,000 times, and it never gets easier. I have a saying, you never get over it, you just get on with it. So in trying to get on with it, I'm a reader, and I was looking for a book that would give me a little comfort, make me feel a little better. And I couldn't find any. I found some books that said, the person was communing with the pet in the afterlife and having signs. And I don't disapprove of that. But my book, I wanted it to be, first of all, short, because a lot of these books were long. I wanted it to be relatable and poignant, yet, like I said, relatable. So I wrote the book myself because I couldn't find anything that was going to help me, give me some hope. And that's what this book is about. It's really for, it's not just for grieving pet owners, cat owners, because if you read the sayings, they're from theologians and from people like C.S. Lewis and the Pope, and there's scripture in there.
And Billy Graham.
Yes, Billy Graham, George MacDonald, C.S. Lewis. I did a lot of research because I know what I feel, but I wanted to see what other, you know, people thought about cats in the afterlife. And I found so many people, so many of these experts believed as I believe that the cats have an essence that God breathed into them at creation, and it's not going to just go away. So whatever form we're going to be in, or whatever form the cats are going to be in, their essence and their spirit, their inner spirit, I believe will be in the afterlife. But I wanted to see what other people thought. So the book is really expectations and full of hope. And the photographs are of everyday things that we do with our cats. There's a photograph of the young woman and she's taking a picture of the cat on the counter. Well, the cat's not supposed to be on the counter, but, and there's a picture of a woman sitting and having a cup of coffee and, you know, talking with her cat.
Or reading. Cats and reading are really good.
Exactly.
Now I'm doing it with my dog, but I had a Maine Coon. I had three cats and I brought two to Florida. A friend took one of my other cats because I figured people would think I was crazy driving to Florida with three cats. but I ended up, when one cat passed away, you know, it's like parakeets. You always replace them because you don't want the one that you do have to be alone. And right. Especially when you're still working and you're out of the house, even though they are solitary, although they do like to be with us. Real cat people know that they're not just go alone, but they do like to be with their people. But right. I end up getting a Maine Coon and they're very dog-like. And when I brought him home, she ran under the bed like, uh-oh, who's this? And you know, he spent the entire night under the bed with her.
Oh, wow.
They became a couple. What went on, you know, I didn't hear anything, but they became, you know, best friends. And it was really wonderful.
Well, the three cats that I had were very simpatico. They slept with each other. They nuzzled with each other, two more so. And then there was a cat who was afraid of everything. But these other two cats, I have photographs of them together, like sleeping together. And the cats that I have now are not that compatible with each other. I mean, they tolerate each other, but the one cat is 15 pounds and the other one is 7. So I have to be careful that, you know, when the older and the fatter of the two goes over to the other one, I have to be careful that he doesn't overwhelm her.
And you have a dog also, which has a very unusual name. So tell our listeners about that.
Yes, this is so funny. I've always had cats. And my husband comes from Ireland and he's used to having a dog. And I felt badly because all these years we never had a dog. And I really, you know, I'm a solitary person. I write all day. Cats are very good for that because they sit or they go on the back of your chair, but they don't really bother you except when they walk across your keyboard. But I used to have a relationship with this rescue. And I said, can you tell me if there's any dogs that don't bark a lot? Because I have no tolerance for barking dogs, make me crazy. So she said, you know, dogs bark, that's what they do. So, but she sent me some photographs and she kept on sending me photographs and I kept on going down and looking at them, but the dogs were too anxious and too
hyper
loud. So one day she sends me this photo of this dog. You know, you talk about love at first sight. Yep. And I'm not a dog person. I looked at this and I said, I must go down and see this animal. I went down and she was so frightened. She had just come from South Carolina. She was a rescue dog that they picked up on the street and they brought her up here. And she backed up to me, and her poor tail was in between her legs, and she was shaking, and she had these big brown eyes and this floppy ears that came down to her chin. And I just looked at her and I said, oh my God, I have to tell my husband about this. So I told my husband, but I told him, don't adopt the dog yet, because we have to dog proof the house. We have cats. We have to, you know, put up fences and make sure that they get along. So about 2 hours later, the doorbell rings and in walks my husband with the dog, 50 pounds.
Obviously, he doesn't listen.
No, he doesn't listen. And I said, why did you, you know, adopt it? So he had the dog in his arms, and because the dog wouldn't get into the car and the dog wouldn't get out of the car. But in the dog's defense, the dog had just come up from South Carolina, so it was in the car for a very long time.
Right, right. When I adopted Tilly, and I gave her the name Tilly McGee, when I met her on Saturday and I picked her up on Tuesday after she was spayed,
right.
I remember she was in the back seat. I'm backing up. I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. And I know we're both thinking, what the heck is going on? What are we in for? And, you know, of course, it's a learning procedure because it's different now. And pets, the way we treat pets, she sleeps in my bed.
Right.
Everything I do, I have to plan on, does she have to go on a walk? Does she have to have somebody watch her? Does she have to go overnight someplace if I'm away? But because I always had cats and they were just so easy.
Right, right. It is. We're getting into that. It's not like you can go away of a weekend. You know, you have to plan. And we've been taking Kitty. Well, to get back to the story about how she got her name, my husband kept on calling the dog Kitty, here, Kitty, because he, you know, he's used to calling the cats here, Kitty. So I said, well, we're going to have to name her Kitty. And I name her Miss Kitty because she comes from South Carolina and she's, you know, and she likes her mint julep. So it was a big adjustment. It was a big adjustment.
And they get along, right? Eventually they will get along.
Yeah. They sniff each other. And the black cat, I was a little bit afraid because he's a little bit, can be a little bit of a bully, but he went over and he sniffed and everything was calm. And Kitty's tail was wagging. So it was.
So she must have been. See, that's the thing. You're lucky that she liked the cats.
Yes, yes.
And that she was willing. She might have been with cats.
Yeah, she was so afraid of everything. You know, she was so afraid of everything. But we have a really good vet, and the vet told us, you know, what to do. And anyway, yes, I'm very pleased. Now I am bipetual. I have cats and dogs.
Another one of your pages that I like is page 77. A cat purring on your lap is more healing than any drug in the world, as the vibrations you are receiving are of pure love and contentment. And, you know, they say that about cats, that it's healthy for you. It lowers your blood pressure. I think also with dogs, but dogs are a little bit more hyper. And with a cat sitting, it's true about the vibrations.
Right, exactly. So you see, this is why this book is so special to me. First of all, it honors the three who went 1, 2, 3 in a row, but it also... anyone can pick this book up and feel good about it and get something out of it. You know, the quotes and the photographs, it's just an uplifting kind of a book. It's a sad book because sometimes the poetry in it can make you tear up, but everyone is going to go through this, okay? And some of us more than others. I have maybe 8 cats.
It's part of life.
It's part of life. But, you know, if you want to get a little bit of comfort and a little bit of reassurance and expectation and hope, this book will give it to you. It, you know, it's not heavy.
It would be a nice gift book.
Oh, yes. It's definitely a great gift book.
You know, especially for people when they get a cat, like if you have a friend who's going to adopt a cat.
Right.
They are lovely. Very spiritual. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back, and today I'm talking with Aaliyah Zobel Nolan. Are you a very religious, spiritual person?
Yes, I am. I write a lot for the CBA. I write children's books, Bible books. I wrote a book called The Worry Warts Prayer Book. 40 Help Me Get a Grip God Devotions and Meditations. And I wrote this book because my mother, God rest her soul, instilled in me, I came out of the womb worrying. I was worrying because she was worrying. So she passed it down to me. And my husband, who is, I keep saying, but he's Irish, they don't worry about anything, you know, what will be, which is a good way to live.
Right.
And, but I'm not like that. I slowly but surely. And this book, writing it, you know, writing books sometimes helps the writer more than it does the audience. And it
well, it has to. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
It helped me, the Worry Warts Prayer Book. It helped me put things in perspective because
That's a very interesting name. People would buy it just for the title.
The Worry Warts Prayer Book.
Yeah, it would be a good gift book for a party.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's list all the things we worry about in life.
Oh, my goodness.
Instead of all the joys.
Yes, exactly. But this is, like, I don't like to fly, okay? So I have a chapter on that. I have a chapter on meeting Mr. Right. I have a chapter on loss, you know, and sickness. And I have a chapter on friendships and gossip and all these things that really interrupt my life. I wrote about them and I wrote a prayer to help me get out of them. So
you write every day?
No, I wouldn't say I am not one of these people that has a schedule. You know, I'll get up at 6, all right, from 6 to 8, and then I'll take the dog out. And, you know, no, I write actually when I have a deadline. And I also write when I have something
to say.
You're a
procrastinator.
No, I'm not a procrastinator. I write when I have something to say. If I wrote Jill Biden a letter about they were going to adopt a cat. So I was telling her all the things that she should look for. And also, you know how the rescuers, they give you like a 12-page form to fill out. It's worse than getting a mortgage, you know?
Yeah. And who's going to be with the cat? How long will you leave the cat alone?
Yes, exactly. And will you pay $5,000 for your cat's pedicure? You know, stuff like that. So, you know, when I feel the need to write, I wrote an article on, you know, gun violence. I write more as a catharsis, and mostly it's funny things. The first book I ever wrote was The Joy of Being Single. That book sold about, I want to say, 200,000 copies because everybody was single. You know, it, from year to year, you're going to have.
I'm smiling as you're talking about it.
The Joy of Being Single. And I wrote that in the woman next door to me. Every time I would come out, she kept on saying, when are you going to get married? You get married? You have a boyfriend? Well, what's going on? You know, like. So I went inside and I wrote this story about, you know, perfect strangers asking you about your marital status. You know, this is ridiculous.
And then when are you going to have a baby after you get married?
Oh, that was the next thing. She was like, babies, you know. It's like the people, you know, and I love these people that go over and touch your stomach when you're pregnant. I mean, keep your hands off. I mean, you know, you wouldn't do that to a person who wasn't. It's crazy.
To walk up to a stranger, yes, that's like personal space.
Right. I like to write humor because I feel, especially in this day and age and what we're going through with war and pandemics and everything, you need a release. And for me, that's a release. And I'm hoping to make people smile, even if it's for 10 seconds, you know, that is what gives me pleasure in writing because I'm not Stephen King. I don't make $1 million, but what I get when someone reads my book and the parent will write me and say, I love this book. I read it to my child every night before bed. I mean, that's worth $1 million to me. That's why I write.
Now, these pictures in here, are these of your cats?
The first page are the pictures of my cats. The first page, there's a tuxedo, Sinead-y cat, the Frady cat, McDuff, the bold, the black cat, and Angela Darling. Those are the three that I lost in succession that prompted me to write this book. I only have two now. I like to have three. I don't know why, but we have two. But we do have three because we have Miss Kitty.
And she turns into a cat when we're not
looking. And she turns into a cat. Well, I want you to know, this dog is so cat-like. I swear she's from heaven. She sits on the couch and she licks her paws. I know dogs do that, but she licks her paws and she is just like the way she folds her paws and the way she's so quiet and pensive. She puts me in mind of my cats. And I think that's why the cats like her, because she's not jumping around and, you know, going
she's
barking.
Mellow.
Yeah, she's mellow. That's a perfect adjective for her. She's very mellow.
And how long have you had her?
Well, we've had her, 2 years now. It's been 2 years. The first year, when we first got her, we tried to have a trainer in, tried to train her. But she's already 2 years old. You know, the training, I think, works best when they're from puppies. That's my own personal opinion. But
I'm in training now.
Oh, yes?
I got Tilly. Well, she's under two. She's about, I got her, maybe she was 11 months, 12 months, or maybe a little younger than, less than a year. But we're in training now.
Oh, great.
It is true, because I eventually would like to do agility with her also.
Oh, I had wanted to have one of my cats be, I volunteered to teach chair exercises. I just did that today to a senior home. And I wanted to bring my cat in as a therapy cat. But these two are not candidates. These two are not candidates. My other cat that I lost, Angela Darling, would have been a candidate because she let anybody pet her and she was just a love. They all have their own personality.
I've had cats 20 years, 21 years. I mean,
21 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And that cat, Sandy, I got her in New York City. Somebody let her out of a building and she walked across 7th Avenue and walked into the store that my dad had. And I figured she was safer on Long Island than she would be in the city. And I had a poodle then. And whenever I walked the dog, she would follow behind. She actually climbed up the side of the house that was brick to get to my bedroom.
Yeah, oh, wow.
A wonderful, wonderful cat. When I drove, she would sit around my neck. It was really, you know, I've had many cats since then. Like I said, 30 something years. And now I have Tilly McGee.
Right. I've never had a dog in my life. My mother had, but I never had a dog.
Miss Kitty is your dog, too.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. But she Velcroed onto my husband right away because my husband walks her and I feed her. But my husband walks her, but she has an affinity with my husband, which is great because it, you know, gets him out walking. He used to walk on the treadmill, but now he goes out and walks with Miss Kitty and socialize with other people who have dogs and things like that. But Miss Kitty is getting to be more of my dog in terms of now she at least wags her tail when she sees me.
Does she sit in the room when you write?
No. Here's the thing. As I said to you off radio, she sits downstairs underneath the desk where my husband works. Now, he used to work at home, and then he used to work at a place that could take her. So she was always with him. So now she'll come up. I do my meditation and prayers at around 9:30, and she'll come up and sit next to me while I do that. And I'll give her a piece of turkey, okay? So she knows she's going to get the turkey. She's not coming up for me.
Yeah, I guess that's her jam. So what are you working on now?
Well, oh my goodness, what am I working on now? I'm working on another cat title, which I can't even reveal the name. It's okay. So it's very under wraps. But I'm also working on a book a children's book called I Hate to Wait. I just signed the contract yesterday, and it's a book about Harriet Hurry Up. She is very antsy pantsy. She doesn't, she wakes up in the morning and she wants the sun to hurry up and get up. She wants the syrup to hurry up and pour. So she is really, really antsy is the only way I can explain it.
And somebody does the graphics for you, or you do that also?
No, I have my publisher will get and publishers usually do this, they get the artist. Now, what I am, since I'm in the business for a while and I know quite a few illustrators, I often recommend someone and I'll give the portfolio to the publisher and they'll see if they like it or if the person is available, if the money is, the budget is in sync. So they do all of that. But I recommend people. Now, with this Heavenly Headbutts, I chose all the photographs. I must have spent...
Oh, the cover photograph is perfect.
The cover photograph. I want to tell you, I got some pictures. You can't really see them here, but anyway, this is just a few of the iterations of the cover that we did. We did about 30, and I kept on saying, no, it's not right. It's not right.
No, this is perfect. Perfect.
We got to the end, and I settled. And I always take the picture of the cover and put it on my desk. And I kept on looking at it and I kept on saying, it just isn't right. So I went back in and I went to Getty Images, which they have beautiful, beautiful photos. They're a little more expensive, but I saw this and I said, this is it. This is it. But if you'll notice the headbutts, the two letters are budding together. My designer did that. She did. And you'll notice that you can see through to the illustration because we did a very filmy and ethereal type of border. We didn't just put a square rectangular border. It worked out so well.
The cat is perfect. And the woman, I mean, she's godly.
Yes. I wanted the look that you feel when you're with your, you know, love pet, whether it's a dog or a cat. Sometimes you just go up against them and you put your head against theirs and you just feel so good. You feel like love. You can feel the love coming through. So that's what I wanted. And this, soon as I saw this photo, I said, that's it. I don't care if it's $1 million. I want this photo. So, and all of the photos in the book I chose, but there are five that a friend of mine volunteers at a shelter. And she has a blog called Sunday at the Shelter. And she let me look at her photos. And there were something like 15 or 20 that I really liked, but I only needed five. And so some of the photos are from her. You know, I tried to illustrate what I was saying in the text, but all of the photographs that I was seeing had different compositions and different lighting, and it looked like a mishmash. It didn't look like it comes together. This comes together really nicely.
It's a lovely, sweet book, and I so appreciate you coming on, and I want to read the Worry Book.
The Worry Work Prayer Book. I'll send you a copy.
Yes, I would love it, and I wish you so much good luck.
Thank you.
I will put this on my book club. I have a book club on Facebook. I will show this book because I know out of all of my members, there are all animal lovers there.
Great.
It could be whether it's for a dog or a cat.
Yes, yes. I'm thinking I might write one specially for a dog, but I think I covered it all in this one. Like you said, you can transfer the cat to the dog.
Yes, it really is beautiful. The pictures are beautiful. The sayings are very sweet. You know, they're very spiritual. And I always say when a friend's animal passes away, the best place to bury a pet is in the heart of the owner, because it's really true. The pets give us all their good days and one really sad one.
Right.
You know, and we're responsible for them. So once again, it was a pleasure having this conversation with you. I so appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
And I want to say thank you to my producer, Mark, all of my listeners, and remember to live life unleashed.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.